Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Our scripture lessons are from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14, and the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Today's message is titled, Do You Recognize the Hour? Here from Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Here ends the lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, 24th chapter, beginning at verse 36. This is Jesus speaking now. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From the 4th century prayer of St. Jerome, let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path, so grant us to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Expressing his feelings, the white rabbit said, I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late. Willy Wonka said, so much time and so little to do. Wait a minute. Strike that. Reverse it. Geoffrey Chaucer said, time and tide wait for no man. William Shakespeare, all the world's estate and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man is in his times, plays many parts, the acts being seven H's. Albert Einstein, the only reason for time is so that everything doesn't happen at once. Paul Harvey, in time like these, it helps to recall that there has always been times like these. Henry David Thoreau, time is but a stream I go fishing in. Winston Churchill, there is no time for ease and comfort. Let me start that again. Winston Churchill, this is no time for ease and comfort. It is time to dare and endure. J.R.R. Tolkien, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. Romans 13, beginning of verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Time. The Greek word translated as time here in verse 11 means seasons or opportunity or occasion. The word is derived from another word which means head, as in coming to a head. So to take full advantage of the moment, things are coming to a head. Time to take full advantage of the moment. It's the right moment, time. This time we are to understand. But more than understand, we are to know, to be aware of, behold and consider, seeing in such a manner that knowing comes. What this means, it's grasping the spiritual truth, which is the reality from the physical we see before our eyes. Hour, the Greek word is hora. The word hour in English comes from the Greek, is the Greek word translated hora. And it's a definition of time, a season. But properly, it's properly as an hour is reaching a goal, fulfilling a purpose in a divinely present time period. So hour, the Greek word hour, really has something divinely appointed, attached to it. And it's the moment happening. A best example to understand the word hour from the Greek is at the wedding feast in Cana. The wine runs out. It's recorded in John chapter 2. Mary comes to her son Jesus and tells her they ran out of wine, expecting Jesus to do something about it. Jesus answers, John chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not come." Meaning, it's not the moment to reveal he is the Messiah. John chapter 7, at the Feast of Tabernacles, they try to lay hold of Jesus, to seize Jesus. But it's written there, his hour has not come. So they're unable to grab hold of him. Same thing in John chapter 8, verse 20. No one could seize him as his hour had not come. That divine moment, that present divine moment has not come. John chapter 12, we see the difference now. John chapter 12, after being anointed in Bethany and also that triumphant entry in Jerusalem, Jesus is now predicting his death that is going to come soon on the cross. So John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." We jump now down to John chapter 12, verse 27 and 28. Jesus again speaking, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Our divinely present time fulfilling a heavenly purpose. Our for Jesus. Our for Jesus was his coming death. The divine purpose of the Father redeeming humanity through the death of the Son. For us, the divinely purposed moment is upon us. That's what he's writing in Romans chapter 13. That divine moment is upon us. Awaken from your slumber. Wake up. Be aware of what's the spiritual things that are happening now. Recognize the spiritual reality that is happening in your midst. Salvation is drawing nearer and nearer and nearer than when you first believed. When the Lord brought forth faith in you. That sacred significance. That's what faith is. Sacred significance of being persuaded by the Lord. That's what faith is. It's sacredness. It's the sacredness of being persuaded by the Lord to faith, to believing. The night is gone. The day is near. Soon to be here. That great and glorious day of Christ returning. It's sooner than before. Therefore, live differently. Live differently. This living differently can also, in our setting, be called living defiantly against the trends of the current culture. And it's truly living in love. They'll say you're not living in love, but you truly are living in love. Romans 13, Paul lists the behaviors of Rome, the behaviors which are contrary to decency. Those are the things of darkness, which means they are of the evil one. You rather be clothed in light, clothed in Jesus Christ. Romans 13, verse 14, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I ask you, how much of today's culture, current culture, revolves around gratifying oneself? Seeking oneself, doing everything for oneself wants. Selfishness, incredible selfishness. How much of this selfie culture is really about gratifying the flesh? Giving into all sorts of desires. The very same things which once was the way of Rome. Decadence, debauchery. Just a few years back, those very same behaviors were not even spoken of in polite conversation. Now they're shown with celebration, with no sense of shame. People letting the feelings rule the day without any nod to self-control and decency. Urges must be gratified right now, making decisions according to what oneself wants, apart from God's ways, which means it's apart from faith. How timely to hear. This is from the New American Standard Bible Translation, 1995 update. Romans 13, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. But, again, I shared in the past, I'll remind you again, it's a strong adversative conjunction. But cuts off what was before for the exact opposite to now be present. That was before, but now this. But cuts it off. So the but here in Romans 13, verse 14, this but cuts off the list of behaviors of Rome, known for the parties of unbridled immorality, rejecting all restraints and indulging in all outrageous conducts, even shocking public decency. But means that's not for you. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ. And no longer think in a manner that gives in nor makes provision for the flesh, those carnal nature lusts done apart from faith. Contrary to faith. Make no room for them at all in your life, for you are clothed in Christ. Clothed in Christ is living in love that does no harm to the neighbor. Romans 13, verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The word translated as wrong in the Greek means, and listen carefully, it means this: evil in the widest sense of evil. Does no wrong, the Greek word actually means evil in the widest sense of what evil can be. Love does no evil. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Think on this. Really think on this. This means much, much more than do no harm. This means speaking to the culture the truth of God's word as these days try to redefine what is humanness, human nature, apart from God. Trying to define humanness apart from what God did. God created male and female. Established in the order of creation, marriage is between a man and a woman. Culture's pushing one must affirm the gender choices of children, and one must support same-sex marriage. Love does no evil. Supporting and affirming what is contrary to God's word is doing evil to the neighbor. It is not love. It never will be love. For love never affirms and supports what God's word says is sin. It breaks my heart really to say this, but we can no longer go to Luther Memorial Camp. It's a beautiful camp I've loved for over 30 years. The place I met my wife, the place my daughter enjoyed so much, we went there to take her senior portrait pictures, especially out at Homestead with that old water pump. A place where Heather and I first got to know each other as we built the tree house, and that's still in use these 25 years later. A place that I helped to build the retreat center, lifting beams, floor beams into place, sliding joists into place, nailing down and sliding in place, straightening out the roof rafters as we put the roof on it. It's a place TNT has enjoyed numerous retreats. We can no longer go there, for LMC has chosen to defy God's word and the truth of marriage in the hiring of their new associate director. A camp that does not live according to God's word, which was established in the order of creation, that foundational understanding God created the male and female, along with the Lord's establishing marriage between a man and a woman, is not a camp that can be trusted in any aspect of God's word. By choosing thusly to hire this associate director, LMC, according to God's word, is not loving, but actually doing evil. It breaks my heart to say this, it really is, but this is speaking the truth in love. As the Lord says, love does no evil to the neighbor. And this kind of love fulfills the law. I had a person say to me, well, that's your opinion. I answered, no, it's not my opinion, it's God's word. God made them male and female, and it's delusional to think one can change that reality. And God ordained marriage to be between a man and a woman. Why is it so important to live out what is written here in Romans 13? Consider the hour. Consider the hour. Let's work on that a little more. Matthew 24, from our gospel reading today, beginning at verse 36 and verse 37. But of that day and hour, no one knows. not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son will be just like the days of Noah. First off, let's look at how Jesus refers to Noah as a historical figure and the reality of the flood. This is important. Everything that Jesus is speaking about here, about his second coming as Christ the Lord in the fullness of his glory, it hinges on the reality of Noah building that ark, preparing for the flood, and the flood coming. Those years in gathering the materials and the building of the ark, they were all years of witness, years of testimony of what was coming, the flood, God's judgment. Noah, what you building? An ark. Why? A flood is coming. Never underestimate the power of water. All through the years of Noah building, people did not pay attention. They did not repent. They went on as they were doing before, eating and drinking, behaving as bad as they had been, which brought the judgment, which brought the flood. Now in the days to come, people will be eating and drinking, behaving as they are until Christ comes again. That moment, that hour of God fulfilling his purpose will come, just as the hour of Christ dying on the cross for our sins came, fulfilling the Father's purpose of redeeming humanity from sin and death. The redemption price has been paid in full by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Repent and believe, and you will live. Live eternally, and we'll see the great day when Christ comes riding on the clouds in the fullness of his glory. It's drawing nearer. It's drawing nearer. Are you keeping watch? Are you on alert? Reading from the NASB 1995 update, Matthew 24, starting at verse 42. Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Hour, that moment, that hour. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, he's one that's watching. He's one that's on the alert. I commend you to him to search out other things he's written and read about him some more, because he's commenting and watching on what's happening in the current world culture. From this past Tuesday, he was speaking to a group of doctors who have been consistent in their principles, standing up to what has been taking place around the world these past couple years. I will gladly send you the link to this so you may read for yourself. Email me and I will send you the link to the article about Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. In his speech, Archbishop Vigano comments on the recent G2 Bali summit where Klaus Schwab speaks to the heads of the governments. And Vigano also notes that almost all of those he was speaking to, all those who were there, have been through the Young Global Leaders for Tomorrow program of the World Economic Forum. And also pointing out, Schwab is the president of this powerful organization that acts with undue power over world governments, expecting obedience irrespective of the will of the people. The elites know better. We must be obeyed. This is what Klaus Schwab said. Archbishop Vigano speaks on this in a moment. This is Schwab. In the fourth industrial revolution, the winners will take it all. So if you are a World Economic Forum first mover, you are the winners. Let that sink in. In the fourth industrial revolution, the winners will take it all. And so if you are a World Economic Forum first mover, you are the winners. Vigano comments its meaning, all those gathered there, they're the winners. They are the winners. And when there's winners, there is losers. Who's the losers? Everybody else. A bit further on, Vigano says, and it's a long quote, so bear patience. I try to cut it down to summarize it, but his words are better than what I could do. So listen, because this is powerful. Vigano says, and here, dear friends, allow me to speak as a bishop. Because in this series of events that we are witnessing and will continue to witness, your commitment could risk being thwarted or limited by the fact of not being able to see its essentially spiritual nature. I know that 2 centuries of Enlightenment thought, revolutions, atheistic materialism, and anti-clerical liberalism have accustomed us to thinking of faith as a personal matter, or that there is not an objective truth to which we all must conform. But this is the fruit of a propedeutic indoctrination, one that happened long before what is happening today. And it would be foolish to believe that the anti-Christian ideology that drove the secret sects and Masonic groups of the 18th century had nothing to do with the anti-Christian ideology that today drives people like Klaus Schwab, George Soros, Bill Gates. The driving principles are the same: rebellion against God, hatred for the church and humanity, and destructive fury aimed against creation, and especially against man, because he is created in the image and likeness of God. Bishop Vigano speaking, what's happening is actually spiritual behind it all. In another interview, I can send this link to you also. In another interview with China State-Run Church, this is what Klaus Schwab said. Listen, I respect China's achievements, which are tremendous over the last 40 years. I think it's a role model for many countries. China's model is certainly a very attractive model for quite a number of countries. Klaus Schwab goes on to say, I look very much forward to having a strong Chinese voice in Davos to explain even better to the world what it means to see the Party Congress, which laid down the principles of the policy, and what it really means for global collaboration and for global development. That is the heart of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, praising communist China that permits no real individual freedom, no tolerance of the Christian faith, and it locks down its own people with brutality. That's the model we should follow. I encourage you to learn more about Vigano and how he's speaking out against what's happening. But for you, on this first Sunday of Advent, I remind you of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Take that as your hour. The hope we have in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one. This is the hour to recognize and hold fast to what will fill you with hope and grant you the fortitude of the faith for the things to come in the days ahead. These wealthy billionaires think that the people of the world should look to them and obey their grand ideas to save the earth. I say to you, look to Christ and Christ alone. Recognize the hour. Recognize what is truly love. Recognize what truly is evil, though many call it love. Recognize it all. And see what the Father has done in sending the Son, Jesus Christ, for you. Human wisdom and human strength will fail. The long-expected Jesus, who brought forgiveness, freedom, and eternal life, will never fail. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you through the end of time. And when Christ comes again, when Christ comes as the Lord, riding upon the clouds in the fullness of His glory. When Christ comes, rejoice and shout with great celebration, for you know the great things coming. Be in the presence of the very living God, because death is defeated. And when Christ Jesus comes, till then, keep the watch. Be ready. Speak out against what is happening, though it may cost you dearly. Speak out, because you know you are filled with hope, and you are filled with a living faith. For the crucified and risen Jesus is your Christ, is your Lord, and He will come again to take you to be with Him in the Father's presence forever. So the world's human wisdom, human strength, it will fail you, but your hope in Christ will never fail you. For Jesus is the crucified and risen Lord. We look forward to His coming again. Amen and amen.